Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I'm praying, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to resume our teaching in this wonderful epistle, starting with verse 18 through 24. And so, are we ready? Are we ready to roll? Praise God. Praise God. And so, let me get your attention right up here on the screen. I've entitled this evening's message, No Matter What Christ Has Preached. No matter what Christ is preached. Amen, amen. And so I'm excited about this. So are you there? Philippians chapter 1. Let's start with verse 18. And the Word of God reads, What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Verse 22. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And verse 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So praise God, praise God. So my friends, let's start off with verse 18. Let's go there. Verse 18, what then? Verse 18 and 19, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. So my friends, I'm just here to let you know that Paul rejoiced that whether or not their motives were pure with the message about Christ was being preached. Some Christian saints of God serve for the wrong reasons. Oh, yes. And Paul wouldn't condone, nor does God excuse their motives. But we should be glad if God uses their message regardless of their motives. Can I get an amen in the house? That's right. You see, my friends, Paul had no concern for his own reputation or success. He had dedicated his life to glorifying God. He understood that God was being glorified even as he sat in chains. Thus, Paul could rejoice. Oh, yes. You see, my friends, Paul had been able to rejoice during his 2 years in prison and could rejoice that good results would come from preachers with bad motives and would continue to rejoice no matter how long he would remain in prison or how long he would live. It didn't matter with Paul. Paul knew that all that had happened resulting in his imprisonment would end in his deliverance. Praise God. What kind of deliverance Paul was envisioning? Well, it didn't matter to Paul. You see, my friends, if Paul were to die, he would be delivered from the body of flesh. But if Paul was released from prison, he would be delivered from imprisonment to continue to preach the word of God. Praise God. And while most scholars agree that Paul was quoting, he was quoting, my friends, from the book of Job. Let's go there and let's see this. Let's see the book of Job right here. Let's go here right for a moment. In Job 13, 15 through 16, Job said it best, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? And so some scholars, my friends, argue that Paul was referring to his upcoming trial, believing that he would be acquitted and freed, which it basically happened. But however, this is unlikely because of Paul's words in the next verse that reveal his uncertainty about the outcome of his trial. And then again, saints of God, others believe that, like Job, Paul was focusing on his relationship with God, which we should as well. That whether he lived or died, he stand before Christ and would be vindicated. But still others think Paul was referring to his apostleship in the face of envious preachers. And so, my friends, as Job sought to prove his integrity, so Paul was seeking to vindicate his standing despite his chains. Hallelujah. A final option, and most likely, is that Paul was referring to his ultimate deliverance and salvation. Praise God. You see, many of us struggle in this body of flesh. For me, it's been 62 years when I was saved and unsaved. But let me just say this. It has been more beautiful, even with the trials and tribulations that I've been through as a Christian. I got saved when I was 30. And God has allowed me to experience many things. He has allowed me to have challenges in my life that I will learn to trust him with all my heart, soul, and mind. You see, my friends, it's easy to throw in the towel, but God is saying, stay in the fight. Continue the race. It's not about who gets to the finish line first. It's about crossing the finish line totally. And that's what God has called you and I. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has delivered us. He has sanctified us. He has justified us. And he has glorified us. Praise God. And maybe we don't see our glorified state just as yet. But God already prophesied. He already sees us way into the future. Hallelujah. On the new body that has been promised to you and I. And so, saints, whether or not Paul would be delivered by the Roman court, he would be delivered from God's judgment. Praise God. Paul's confidence came from two sources, human and divine. Paul knew that the Philippians' constant prayers had sustained him. And as Paul consistently prayed for the churches, so he petitioned their prayers on his behalf. Praise God. Oh, that's right. That's right. He would always petition for prayers. And you and I should be not any different than that. You and I should always be asking people to pray for you, pray for your ministry, pray for your marriage, pray for your children. That's right. We're not alone on an island. God has called us the body of Christ where we need each other. We need to rely on each other. I need to call my sister, my brother, and say, pray for me. And many of them will drop hat and pray. That's right. Why? Because we're called. And Paul, he understood the challenges. He understood the persecution. Listen, he wrote this letter when he was in prison. The majority of the epistles that he wrote in the New Testament, he was chained to other inmates. Wow. Look what he wrote to the Roman church right here. Let's look at this. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God. Did you catch that, saints? Prayers to God. That's right. That's right. Look what he wrote to the Corinthian church. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the gift granted to us through many. That's right. What is the gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Look at this next verse of scripture right here. It's found, hallelujah, praise God, in Colossians 4 and 3. Let's look at this for a moment. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also, what? In chains. Oh my gosh, praise God, praise God. And then he wrote this to the Thessalonian church. Look at this. Brethren, pray for us. He said, pray for us. My goodness, my goodness. Saints of God, let me just pause for a moment. Let me just pause here for a moment. We need to pray for one another. I hope you know that. Prayer is vital. Prayer is the lifeline to our existence here as we walk this walk with Christ. We need to be in constant fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. We need to be in constant fellowship with one another. Oh, that's right. That's right. Many people have walked for many years and have forsaken their call. They've walked away totally from the things of the Lord. They were called to serve. They were called to preach. They were called to teach. And now they're no longer around. They're no longer in church. Pray for them. Don't ridicule them. Just pray for their salvation. Pray that God will sustain them. Pray that God will deliver them. And pray that God will leave the 99 to go get the one. Look at this next verse of scripture right here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be what? Delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Wow. Wow. Listen, saints of God, there's a lot of people in this world that have a bad influence to our lives. Oh, that's right. There's wicked people that want to see you not succeed in Christ. A lot of my ex-friends, people that I went to school with, partied with, and all that, many of them would like to see me fail. Why? Because they don't believe in God. But while God sustains you and I, hallelujah, we can exalt the Lord and we can show them that there's hope for them. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, when you come to Christ, God gives us a whole brand new nature. And that nature is like Christ. Christ came to forgive those. Christ came to save those who were lost, who needed a Savior. And we need to have the same heart. Can I get an amen? For those who are suffering, those who have hardened their hearts against the Lord. We need to pray for them. Praise God. And so, saints of God, in addition, Paul depended upon the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Praise God, just like you and I, which is the Holy Spirit, who makes Christ's presence real in true believers. You see, the prayers of the church, saints of God, and the support of the Holy Spirit sustained Paul through a difficult trial. And in the end, no matter what the outcome was, Paul would ultimately be delivered. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go now to verse 20 in Philippians chapter 1. Look at this. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness and always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I need you to catch that. Paul didn't care whether he died in the flesh, because he knew that absent from the body would be present with the Lord. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed? You see, the Greek word translated eager expectation pictures a person straining his neck to see what's ahead. But in the book of Romans, Paul used the same word as he described looking forward to the revelation of God's children as God planned from the beginning of creation. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at Romans right here. Romans 8 and 9. Look what it says. For the earnest, what? Expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, hope and expectation are linked. They're linked together. And Paul looked forward to the final fulfillment. He was not concerned about the verdict of his trial, but for the testimony he would leave behind. Paul hoped he would never do anything that would cause him shame. Praise God. He walked with honor. He walked with integrity. Look what he wrote to the to Romans once again. Let's look at this verse of scripture right here. In Romans 14:8, if we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we what? Belong to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Look what he wrote to the Corinthian church here. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Praise God. This is what we need to do, saints of God. You see, he was not worried about his own humiliation, but he prayed for courage to be bold for Christ and to always honor the Lord. And when standing trial, Paul wanted to speak God's truth courageously and not be timid or ashamed. Praise God. The words, whether I live or die, what does that do? It reveals that Paul was uncertain about the outcome of his trial. He faced the possibility of execution. Praise God. But God was with him. God will always be with us. Can I get an amen? If God be for us, who could be against us? We need to be bold. Hallelujah. We need to not ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. You and I, we are called to be a witness. We are called to testify. We are called to glorify God. We're called to magnify Him. We're called to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where we go. Hallelujah. You see, the enemy doesn't like it, but who cares about the enemy? We're here because Christ called you and I out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God. God has transformed us, hallelujah, into the likelihood of His image. Every day we are becoming more like Christ until we are finally perfected. And how is that going to happen? When God, hallelujah, snatches us out of this world and we have a new body like His. And then we will be changed forevermore. Praise God. Look, let's move on to verse 21. Let's go here. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so I love Paul. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to die. Look what Isaiah wrote in the Old Testament here. The righteous perishes, and no man lays it to heart. Verse 2, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Wow. Wow. You know what, saints of God? That answers a lot of questions. You see, there are some godly people that have gone on to be with the Lord. And as we just read that scripture, let's read it again in Isaiah. Let's look at this again. The righteous perishes and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Let me just say this. There's people that God has allowed to come into the kingdom of God earlier than what we and you and I have anticipated. There's over 450 pastors in our nation alone. It was a survey taken through Perry Stone. And 450 pastors have already gone on to be with the Lord. As we just read, praise God, the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Because there is evil that's going to be unleashed soon and very soon. And praise God, God has given us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, God has called you and I, hallelujah, to be the called out church, to be the called out saints of God. Look what Paul wrote to the Romans right here. Look at this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You see, when Paul was in prison, he was still determined that regardless of his imprisonment, regardless of his chains, regardless of his conditions, nothing was ever going to separate him between the love of God and him. Let's finish up this verse right here. Look at this. Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Wow. Look at this in verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I want you to say that at home with me. We are more than conquerors to him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be what? Able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? And to those who don't believe in God, life on earth is all there is. And so it is a natural thing for them to strive for this world's values, the money, the popularity, the power, pleasure, and the prestige. Oh yes, that's what the world chases after, saints. For Paul, however, living was for Christ. Paul's life focus was to develop eternal values and to tell others about Christ, who alone could help them see life, hallelujah, from an eternal perspective. Aren't you so blessed to know that? For to me indicates Paul's firm resolve and unshaken faith. Praise God, praise God. You see, the essence of life was Christ and having a vital spiritual union with him. Everything Paul desired or attempted was inspired by his devotion for Christ. With that attitude, saints of God, dying would not be a tragedy, but instead a realization of Paul's hope and expectation. You see, my friends, to live would continue Paul's ministry of spreading the gospel. To die would be even better because Paul's martyrdom would glorify Christ and bring him face to face with his Savior. Praise God. You see, Paul's faithful and fearless witness, even unto death, would enhance the reputation of the gospel. You see, my friends, Christ would be magnified as much in Paul's death as he had been in Paul's life. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 22. Let's go here. And it says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet I shall choose and I cannot tell. Wow, wow. You see, it didn't matter with Paul which way it went. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, Paul poured out his heart to his friends in Philippi. If the verdict should go for Paul, he should be released. That would mean more fruitful service for Christ. And further ministry, travels, more churches planted, more converts, the strengthening of the fellow believers, more opportunities to serve Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote here to the Romans here. Look at this. It says, now I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. You see, my friends, certainly that would be a happy result. Yet, if the decision to either live or to die were up to him, he wouldn't know which is better. How many of us are so dedicated to God that if the choice were given, would we choose to be in God's presence? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you ready if God called you home? Is your house in order? Have you been living for Christ? Have you been winning souls? Have you been sharing the gospel? My friends, all you have to do is live that disciplined life. Live an obedient life unto God. Listen, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We get that. But God has covered us and cleansed us. And he has washed us in his blood. And we can continually come to him on a daily basis for forgiveness, to wash us, to cleanse us. Can I get an amen in the house? That God would use us. How many of you at home want to be used? I do. I know you do. Praise God. So let's move on to the next verse. In verse 23. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. See, that was far better in his life. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So he was thinking about the brethren. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Paul had that kind of a heart. Oh, look what John wrote right here. Let's look at this. In John 12:26, if anyone serves me, this is Jesus is saying. This is what was dictated by John, what Jesus had said when he was with them. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. You see, it's that simple. It's that simple. Just serve and honor the King. Serve and honor God. Learn to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Learn to die to self. Learn to exalt the King. Learn to walk in His ways. Be careful of what some prophets, these so-called prophets today, a lot of them are a bunch of glitter and a bunch of hype. They want to mix and just tickle your fancy. But Paul, he went through trials and tribulations. And those of us who are truly walking with Christ, it's going to be no different. We will go through trials and tribulations. We can't speak things and have chains fall off. Well, if that was the case, Paul wouldn't be in prison for 2 years over here, 3 years over here. He would just speak the chains off him. No, it don't work that way. You and I, we've been called to even suffer some things in life. But the glory, the hope, which lies ahead, will far outweigh anything that you and I will ever have to contend with and go through on this earth. You see, my friends, two choices were equally compelling. Oh, that's right. That's right. The first one was this right here. Look. The desire to die and to be with Christ Himself. That was one option for Paul. And another one was this. The desire to stay alive and so to continue his fellowship with and service the believers. That's right. See, Paul had a heart for the church. He had a heart for the churches that God used him to establish. Praise God. And so, saints, while Paul lived in intimate communion with Christ during his service here on earth, being with Christ in heaven would be even closer and more intimate than any human could ever imagine. And these words reveal Paul's understanding of death, believers being immediately present with the Lord. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints of God? Oh, yes. Look what he wrote to the Corinthian church right up here. Look at this. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Praise God. Praise God. All that means, saints of God, is that God has prepared a place for you and I. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul had no question that death would be far better, because in death, he would reach his ultimate goal, to be with Christ and finally have eternal fellowship with God in His presence. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul was prepared and ready to die at any moment for his faith. And he actually looked forward to death because of the certainty of being with the Lord forever. But he knew that his personal desires had to be subordinated to all God's will. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul felt that his ministry on earth was not yet complete, and that he needed to live to help the churches grow and solidify their call. Paul placed his fellow believers' needs above his own needs. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? You see, my friends, what you and I need to realize and understand that the day we live in, if you ever did a word study in the book of Matthew chapter 24, we are living in the last days. Oh, that's right. Listen, this is why we need to be prayed up. This is why we need our faith to be strong than it's ever been. There's war ready to bust out between U.S. and Russia. And listen, it won't be a conventional war. If there's a war, it'll probably be a nuclear war, and it'll be fast. And you can imagine how many cities here in our United States has been already targeted, not just by Russia, but China and Iran and North Korea and some of the missiles that are down in Venezuela, that communist country where Russia is camped out in, and even in Cuba. Saints of God, This is the time to wake up. The church needs to wake up. We need to be about our Father's business. Because Jesus said in the last days, there would be perilous times. And we're looking at perilous times now. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars, which are taking place as I speak right now. He said there will be earthquakes in various places. There's earthquakes every day now. And they're accumulated. They're accumulating so fast and quickly. He said that there would be pestilence and famine. Look, this COVID hasn't left. It's still around us for 2.5 years. He also said there would be an apostasy, an apostate church, meaning those who would leave the faith. He said there will be false prophets. And there are so many false prophets right now as I speak. There's a lot of prosperity preachers. All they want to do is just shake you up upside down 2-3 times in a service to get as much money they can get out of you so that they can continue to pay for their beautiful hill that's on a mountaintop and the luxury cars they're driving. They don't care about the needs of those. Listen, there are some people in churches, in these big old mega churches, where they're being fleeced. Some of them are giving their almost all of their welfare checks. Oh my gosh. Saints of God, we live in perilous times. Jesus said it would be like the days of Noah and Lot. In the days of Noah, it was wicked. It was sexually immoral. Oh yes, there were so many things that took place in Sodom and Gomorrah. And also, he said it would be like in the days of Lot, which was very violent. You can't watch a good program on television no more because it's so violent. And all the movies you go to now are rated R, and they're very violent, and they're very wicked. You know what that lets me know? That soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Oh, that's right. He said we would see these things. I truly believe we are the terminal generation. We are the generation that is going to see these things, and we're seeing them already. Number one, Israel is back in the land. For thousands of years, they were scattered. And for thousands of years, they had no land. And in 1948, God brought them all back. Praise God. Now, if you've been following any Hebraic teaching, this Rosh Hashanah coming in September, in our year that we're living in now, 2022, it's a brand new Shemitah cycle. And if you were to see a chart that Mark Biltz had discovered, and I have the chart, I may show it this Sunday, but it's the beginning of a 7-year cycle, and all the beginning of a Shemitah cycle throughout history has been some horrific things. World War I, World War II, the destruction of the temples in Israel. Many bad things happen on the beginning of a 7-year Shemitah cycle. And so the next one, a brand new one, will be this Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. You know what I'm hoping for, saints? That God comes and takes His church finally home to be with Him. I'm ready to go. I don't know about you, but I want to be caught up. I want to be caught up in the clouds. Look at the clouds right there behind me. The Bible says that Jesus will come in the clouds, and the angels will blast the shofar, and we will be changed and be like Him. And so what is the next greatest event that's going to take place? Is the rapture of the church. And it's any moment right now, saints of God. This is a time to wake up, to be ready. This is the time to be the church and not play church, but be the church. Be the called out one that God has called you, saints of God. Be ready, because when Jesus comes, we will be changed and we will be like Him. And guess what? You can't take anyone with you. The Bible says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This is a relationship that you and I must have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, He's coming. He's coming again. And when He comes, this is what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. Let's go there right now. Look at this. Right here. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Praise God, praise God. For the Lord himself, say that with me at home. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Comfort one another. We need to comfort one another. Can I get an amen, saints of God? We earnestly do. Because he's about to come. And let me just say this. When it takes place, it'll be faster than the speed of light. The Bible says, it's like a twinkling of an eye. I did a study on the twinkling of an eye. It's faster than the speed of light. The speed of light travels 186,000 miles per second. It's going to be faster than that. And we will be changed. God's going to do it with his power. He's going to do it in a way that it cannot be explained with the human understanding. And so this is what he wrote to the Corinthian church. Let's look at this for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, it's time to be ready. It's time to be prepared. Because if you are not born again, if you have not repented of your sins, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and filled with his Holy Spirit, don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. Or he could even come...
Every time I see this video, I'm reminded that those who have given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and are true children of God will not be left behind. For those of you that are watching right now and have never been born again, this is the outcome that you just saw that will take place when Jesus comes for his church. There are going to be people left behind, even inside of the church. See, look at it like this. God has a church inside of a church, meaning true believers are in his, are in these church buildings, but not everyone is saved. But here's the good news. You can be saved right now. if you repent. Turn, the Bible says, from your wicked ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And if you choose to do so, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, he preached his very first sermon. And look what he preached. This is what he preached. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Aren't you so blessed? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Woo! God is a good... How many believe that God is a good God? And He's worthy to be praised? Well, here's your opportunity right now. I want to lead you in a prayer. It's a simple prayer. The prayer. Listen, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. And all you have to do is come to Him by faith and believe who He is. He's the only one that can save us from our sins. So if you're there for the very first time and never prayed to ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins, I want you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Somebody give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, right down below, look at that, is our website. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to point you to a good church that'll teach and preach the Word of God. And so, my friends, thank you once again for opening up your living rooms and allow me to come and bring you God's Word. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you this Sunday. And I'm thankful that God has healed us, delivered us. We're back in action by the grace of God. And I want to leave you this benediction and pray for your household right now. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, my friends, it's time to sign off and say goodnight. I look forward to seeing you this Sunday at 10:30 at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we love you guys. God bless you. And we'll see you this Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.